in perfect circles, but Pluto has the least circular orbit of all. When it draws in toward its perihelion, the closest point to the Sun in its 248-year orbit, it gets closer to the Sun than Neptune for a period of about 2 decades. Pluto will reach its closest point to the Sun this year on September the 5th. Then it'll be only 2.75 billion miles from the Sun, as compared to Neptune's closest distance of about 2.77 billion miles. When Pluto is farthest from the Sun, it's more than 4 billion miles away. All of this has contributed to the best decade for observing Pluto since it was first discovered in 1930. One recent finding is that Pluto's atmosphere, which had been suspected previously, is definitely there. The Plutonian atmosphere was confirmed last summer when this little world was seen to pass in front of a star. Instead of winking out suddenly, the star's light faded gradually. The atmosphere on Pluto is thicker than had been thought. Also, it seems to have a definite structure, perhaps a haze layer about midway down. What's still not known is whether this atmosphere only appears on Pluto when, as now, the planet is closest to the Sun. After this year, as Pluto's distance from the Sun begins to increase again, some fraction of the atmosphere may change once again into ice. For January 21st, that's Star Date, and for the McDonald Observatory, I'm Joel Block.
Live from New York City, you are about to hear a major address by Senator John F. Kennedy, a Democratic candidate for the presidency of the United States. This program is sponsored by the Citizens for Kennedy Johnson Committee. Senator Kennedy is speaking tonight before an overflow crowd, many of whom have been waiting in a steady rain for hours to greet him.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording, already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording, already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording, already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording, already in...
Changed. The new number is 2. Please make a note of it.
Please repeat.
The number you have reached has been changed. The new number has been disconnected.
Ring damage.
Möchten Sie etwas zu trinken haben?
Did you say 9?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
Can you say deja vu?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
Can you say deja vu?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
Can you say deja vu?
Good evening, Vice President Nixon.
Good evening, Mr. Howe.
Welches sind die Regenbogenfarben?
If you do not push a key in 3 seconds, you will be disconnected.
Mein Bruder ist jünger als ich.
And a very good evening to one and all. This is Brain Damage coming to you through the marvels of 3D. And we will be opening up the phones in just a little while, but first, why don't we take a step down memory lane for this very special program.
Of the United States, the Honorable Lyndon B. Johnson.
distinguished Americans, my fellow Democrats. I am proud to be speaking to the American people tonight from the same platform with the next president of the United States. We are almost at the end of the trail which began many, many weeks and many thousands of miles ago in the city of Los Angeles. It has been a long road and a hard road. It has meant days and nights without sleep, 5, 10, and sometimes even 17 stops a day. It has meant ranging the length and the breadth of the land in plane, in train, in helicopter, and bus. But difficult though it was, there has never in my life been a road which I have traveled so proudly. My deep feelings are due to the conduct of my party, upon whose platform I am proud to stand. And to the conduct of my leader, on whose banner I proudly serve, the next president of the United States, John F. Kennedy. From the very beginning, Jack Kennedy and I have worked together. Together we have served 38 years in the Congress, and we have shared a common bond, a deep desire for government that cares that our working men have jobs at adequate wages, that our farmers have a just share of our national income, cares that our children be educated, and that our senior citizens be treated with dignity, cares that our government itself be one of integrity and justice and honor. I would like to reach back to the World War II and recall the phrase of that great leader, Winston Churchill, when he said of the British people that this was their finest hour. In a very real sense, it can be said of the Democratic Party that this campaign has been its finest hour. From this campaign, there has emerged a new figure in American history. He is a man who has scorned to play petty prejudices and narrow partisan considerations. He is a man who has called America to greatness. He is a man who has challenged us to bring forth the nobility of the American soul. He is a man who has aroused our hopes and our vision. He is the man that I now present to you, my leader, your leader, the next president of the United States.
Mrs. Roosevelt, Governor Harriman, distinguished guests, ladies and gentlemen, I am honored to have been introduced by my distinguished running mate, the senior senator from Texas, Senator Johnson, who on three separate occasions was unanimously chosen by the Democrats of the Senate to lead them. And I am delighted that he's running with me on this occasion in this vital campaign. The Democratic Party is a national party, and we move into this campaign with confidence and hope. Less than 60 hours from now, the polls will begin to open, and the American people will make their decision as to what kind of leadership they want in the 1960s. I come to New York and ask your help in this campaign. No other task, no other responsibility is quite so important. For remember that the polls will not open next Tuesday or any other day in a very real sense in Moscow or Peking or Havana or in the so-called satellite nations where I found no satellite people. We must vote on behalf next Tuesday. We must vote on behalf of those people, as well as our own. On behalf of all those who want to vote for the cause of freedom, but who lack the freedom to vote. And for their sake, as well as ours, we must vote to get this country moving again. For the United States will never be strong and powerful and respected abroad unless it's moving here at home. Unless we are building in this country a strong and vital society. The reason that Franklin Roosevelt was a good neighbor in Latin America was because he was a good neighbor here in the United States. This country is the arsenal of freedom. We are the great defenders of freedom at a time when freedom is under attack all over the globe. If we are meeting our responsibilities here, if we are providing work for our people, education for our children, security for our older people, if we are developing in this country the kind of society which serves as an inspiration to people around the world, then American prestige will be at its height again. And let us remember on Tuesday, when the last hurrah is over, that this is a solemn decision. We are not engaged in a name-calling contest. We are not voting for an image or a team or a protege. We are voting for a president of the United States. I run for the presidency not because I believe that will be an easy task in the 1960s. In many ways, the office will be more difficult and will bear heavier burdens than it has since the election of Abraham Lincoln 100 years ago. But after 14 years in the Congress, I run for the presidency because the presidency is the center of action in a free society, and because it is up to the president to set before the American people the unfinished business of our society. This country is going to move in the 60s, and I believe it must move forward. Example to all the people
who desire also to be free. Thomas Jefferson said...
Oh, we all know what Thomas Jefferson said. It's been quoted so many times. But it's good, it's reassuring to hear it repeated all over again. Don't know why I'm hearing it in my headphones still, but I guess there's something wrong here. I hear Kennedy, so I turned him off, but I still hear him. I must be going crazy. Oh, incredible. John Kennedy from the Live at Budokan record. And Campaign 1960, I believe, is what they call that. We also heard from Joe Cocker with a little help from his friends and a couple of things from Jimi Hendrix experience and all that kind of nonsense and jazz. And this is Brain Damage, the program that dares to try to be different here on WUSB in Stony Brook. Eric Corley with you until midnight. Yes, midnight tonight on this Saturday night. You're welcome to call up at 632-6901. But before you do, I'd like you to sort of sit down and calmly, rationally say out loud, President Bush. Now, if you can say that, then I think you're in good condition to pick up the phone and call. But say it first, President Bush. Now, can you actually get the words out? Can you deal with the fact that for the first time in 8 years... President Reagan does not exist. There is no such person as President Reagan anymore. It's hard. I mean, a lot of people have not done it yet. I've been working on it. I've made a lot of progress, but I haven't gotten to that point yet where I can actually say President Bush. Vice President Bush, you know, still comes to mind. But it's tough. 632-6901 is our telephone number, and I'd like to know what people think of what Bush has done so far and what Bush hasn't done so far. He seems to be strangely quiet, been in office a full 2 days now, and no major policy changes, no major speeches. I believe he had an impromptu press conference today, but that's only a speculation and rumor at this point. We'll get into more of this in a minute. Let's see what's happening in the rest of the world before we do. 3 days before his scheduled execution, there is word that Florida inmate Ted Bundy has confessed to at least 9 additional killings. I don't know if that entitles him to anything special. State officials who met with Bundy today say he confessed to killing at least 8 young women in western Washington state in 1974 and to the 1975 murder of a ski shop worker in Vail, Colorado. Bundy is scheduled to go to the electric chair on Tuesday for killing a 12-year-old girl in 1978, and he's been linked to as many as 36 killings and disappearances. And this is what the Associated Press makes the first story in the national news. I don't believe it. Let's get right to the heart of the matter. President Bush, there it is. President Bush is enjoying a second night of inaugural revelry on tap tonight for the new president. A black tie and boots ball for his fellow Texans and a festival of blues and rhythm and blues music. Bush's inaugural calendar doesn't end until tomorrow with a national prayer service at the Washington Cathedral. Between the official duties of his first day, Bush found time to hold his first presidential news conference. There you go. It's not just a rumor. On the hostages in Lebanon, Bush said there will be no concessions to kidnappers, but he is prepared to respond in kind to any acts of goodwill by the captors. On superpower relations, Bush said he'll respond to what he called a generous letter from Soviet President Gorbachev. And uh-oh, I cannot do this. I can't do it, folks. I'm sorry. I should just go home now and forget about it. There's 4 words in front of me right now that I cannot say. It has nothing to do with FCC regulations. It's got nothing to do with indecency or obscenity or anything like that. I just cannot physically say these words, at least not all in order. Okay, maybe if I say it in a different order, I can get it out, but I cannot say these 4 words. Okay, let's try this. Quail President Dan Weiss. Okay, I can do that. Quail President Dan Weiss has been taking in some final inaugural events. There have been receptions with members of Congress and the diplomatic corps. And tonight, a speech at a Washington function that was billed a tribute to democracy and was replete with marching music. Whew, that wasn't so bad. The eve of the 16th anniversary of legalized abortion across America has been marked by protests around the nation. Protesters for and against the Supreme Court's Roe versus Wade decision rallied in Arizona, Texas, Louisiana, Michigan, and California, mostly outside of women's clinics. Hundreds of arrests were reported, and in one of the Michigan demonstrations, a fight broke out between anti-abortion demonstrators and marchers in the Ku Klux... No, that's a different story. Pro-choice activists outside a Detroit clinic. Downtown Atlanta is quiet hours after a confrontation between six white supremacists and hundreds of counter-demonstrators with National Guard troops and police in the middle. The troops and officers surrounded a half-dozen marchers to keep the two sides separated, but violence erupted with counter-demonstrators hurling rocks and bricks at the six, yes, but six more law enforcement officers were injured and 31 arrests were made. In this age of glasnost, there is this admission from the Kremlin: the Soviet budget deficit could surpass the U.S. budget shortfall by next year. Forget the arms race. A Soviet newspaper quotes an economist, yes, that's it, an economist as blaming the ballooning budget gap on the 1988 Armenian earthquake, the 1986 Chernobyl nuclear disaster, and current shortages of housing and consumer goods were also blamed. And finally, Salvador Dali is reported possibly close to death at a hospital in Figueres, Spain. One doctor says the 84-year-old artist is not responding to treatment for heart trouble, and another physician puts Dali's chance of surviving at only 1 in 1,000. Dali, a founding member of the Surrealist movement, is the last of a generation of Spanish painters that included Pablo Picasso and Joan Miró. Currently 10:38, and nobody pulled the weather, so I guess we don't have a weather forecast for you. I can just tell you it's very cold. Whatever it is, people say they can do in extremely cold temperatures, they can probably do it tonight. It's minus 6 degrees Celsius, and that turns out to be 21 on the Fahrenheit scale. 21 degrees. President Bush, President George Bush, President George Walker Bush. The scene at the Capitol yesterday contrasted strikingly with January 1961, the last time a vastly popular Republican president left office after 8 years. John Kennedy fired public imagination then with his urgent summons to a new frontier. Yesterday, George Bush spoke in measured tones about a new breeze in the age of the offered hand. Why so measured? So modest? The question doesn't do justice to the new president's resolutely decent message. The test of an inaugural address is not eloquence in a vacuum. It's how well the speaker relates to the politics of his time. President Bush, taking office in a tranquil time, did that admirably, or so says the New York Times today in their editorial. Yes, they also say George Bush was inaugurated with the exact same 35 words that George Washington used 2 centuries ago. I don't know if anybody caught that. He got his name wrong, that's right. He thought he was George Washington yesterday. He used those exact same 35 words, resting his left hand on the same Bible that George Washington used, and he spoke of the orderly transfer of power that the inaugural ceremony so compellingly symbolizes. Yes. A new president, a new era. A new day has dawned. Well, before we go to the phones, which we're just all set about to do, we're going to go over to our old friends at the White House press office, which will probably be busy again if this administration's anything like the other one. Let's see what they call it now. Well, I can't say that that surprises me. Let me just program that into the speed dialer here, and then we can continue. There. Now, all I have to do is hit these 3 buttons and things should automatically dial and get us that same familiar busy signal. Instead of the voice of President Reagan, we'll probably hear the voice of President Bush. If he chooses to say anything. Or pick up the phone. 632-6901. What are your impressions of George Bush? What else is going on in the world tonight? The program is Brain Damage here on WUSB. And Kennedy is still with us. Good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
Bush is an asshole.
Good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
Hey, hello, Eric.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing well, all right. What's up?
Not much. What's up with you?
Nothing much.
Yeah?
What do you think? What are your first impressions of this character, George Bush?
Well, you know, I have to say, he seems a little bit more in control than I thought he... Well, actually, no, I always thought he would be in control. That was what worried me, actually. He seems to be trying to present himself as a nice guy, you know, and not a former head of the CIA, so I'm willing to give him a chance.
I think, you know, he's kind of a character. I don't think, personally, my opinion is, George Bush and that Dukakis dude, I don't think, you know, they both shouldn't have ran. I think it maybe should have been some guy like the American Dream, or, you know, some guy that has an American Dream, you know what I'm saying?
A guy that has, well, what do you mean?
Like somebody with a dream, you know what I'm saying?
Well, what makes you say George Bush doesn't have a dream? I mean, how do you know he doesn't have a dream?
I think they should get somebody younger.
Uh-huh.
I think they should change the age of, you know, presidency.
Yeah, I think you have to be, what, 35?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
I believe so.
Well, that'd be kind of scary to think of somebody in their 20s being president, you know? I mean, I know plenty of people.
That's life, you know? Life has to go on.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. How old is Bush, anyway, do you know?
Oh, he's in, like, 50, late 50s, I'm assuming.
Uh-huh.
I guess, yeah. I don't know. But I think he'll do the right job.
Yeah.
He made the right choice.
Well, we have no choice now. This is it for 4 years. I hope this is it for 4 years. I hope nothing happens and
yes.
Get that other person.
You know that character, which they call Mr. Radio, who usually calls your show?
Yeah.
I'm going to have to talk to this guy one night because what he says about us CB people.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to have all of us CB people call that Brookhaven TV station and tell him no go with his show, if you know what I mean.
Well, that's something...
That will
you'll have to discuss amongst your own people.
I'm going to talk to my characters like Jimmy S. and Jeremiah Hangbite Tony and see what we could come up with, yeah?
Okay, you do that.
Oh, yeah, by the way, did you get that tape that my friend Mike sent you?
I believe I got a few tapes, yes. I think that was one of them.
The one with the call? You get that one?
I think so, yes.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Well, did you listen to it yet?
I've been pretty busy, but I did listen to a bit of it, I think, and... You know, some interesting stuff there. Maybe we'll put it on some night.
All right.
Okay.
Well, all right.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Wait, I'd just like to say hi to Jeremiah Toner hanging by a thread and Jimmy S., who I know is out there listening.
Okay, well...
So, have a nice night and sleep tight, Anna.
Okay.
I'll talk to you like next week, dude.
Okay, sounds good.
Later.
CB people, how nice. 632-6901. We've got one open line here, so let's have a race to get to it, huh? 632-6901. Good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
Yeah, what's up? This is Fish, you know what I mean?
This is who?
Fish.
Fish?
Yeah.
Fish.
I told you about the people who cut me off on the road all the time. Come on.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Okay, yes, I remember now.
I just had some thoughts on Bush here. I know he's only been in about 2 days now. Yeah, yeah.
You're either speaking in a very hollow room or you're on a cordless phone. Which is it?
I'm in prison, but don't worry.
Oh, okay.
Either way, I thought, you know, considering I'm a Democrat, okay?
Uh-huh.
He's done some pretty good things so far. I've been analyzing this.
What's he done so far? He's gone to 11 inaugural balls. That's about the only thing I can think of.
To that presidential gala?
Yeah.
And, did you see that? Did you see it on TV by any chance?
No, I kind of avoided it because, you know, all this hoopla kind of turns me off. I don't know why. I guess because I'm not invited.
They had this guy on from Phantom of the Opera.
Uh-huh.
And he wears this, like, half mask on his face.
Uh-huh.
Bush is going to look like that in about a year.
Yeah, well, I think the job is going to change him.
Oh, no. Wait till he meets Gorbachev. He's got, like, I think that thing on Gorby's head is contagious or something, and he's going to end up with that thing on his face. Just wait. Wait, but that's only one thing he's done, okay?
Yeah.
But the other thing. He's the first person in United States history to successfully hold up Dan Quayle's hand in public about 40,000 times.
That's true.
That mongoloid quail. He's actually... He likes to be seen with the man.
Well, I don't think that the mongoloids of the world deserve to be insulted.
Well, I have a friend that's one, and he doesn't mind when we call him that.
He doesn't mind being compared to Dan Quayle?
No, not at all.
Okay, well, I don't think that represents most people, but...
Would you mind if you were compared to Dan Quayle?
Well, I don't even like being asked the question of whether I would mind the situation that could arise where I would be compared to... Yes, I mind quite a bit.
Did you vote for Dukakis?
I can't say who I voted for because that's FCC regulation number 412 that no talk show host will say who, in fact, he voted for.
Well, just let me say that I hope you did.
I did vote, I'll say that.
Because... I'll just make a little editorial here.
Okay.
If you're going to vote, George Bush is a good guy, okay?
Let me just say, this editorial does not necessarily reflect the views of WUSB, the Commissioner of Baseball, or any of the listeners, including this one. Go ahead.
See, George Bush is a good man. George Bush, he might be a little bit of a wimp in a lot of people's eyes, but he's a good man, even though he's a Republican, okay?
Okay.
Now, it seems like Reagan, who seemed to have a really hard head and always wanted to do all this stuff, and he always seemed to do it, too. And I was afraid of getting into wars with Reagan, but I don't seem to have that problem with Bush.
Okay.
For some reason, I feel that our relations with the communist government and Soviet Union are going to be much, much better now, because Gorby's got a hard head, too. Now, with Reagan, you know, they'd have these meetings, and they'd go back and forth, and they wouldn't get any place, because they both have these really hard heads, and they're really stubborn.
Uh-huh.
Bush is a good man. Bush is going to say, okay, Gorby, maybe we'll give you this if you give us that.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, Gorby's going to say, and it's, you know, well, maybe we can if you work this out with us, you know, but it can work out.
Uh-huh.
You know, we can have totally detente here for the rest of our lives.
That would be something.
But no one has to be afraid to register for the draft anymore.
That's an interesting point. I wonder what the effect on that's going to be. Well, hopefully we'll never need a draft again. That certainly would be nice. I don't know. You know, it's I want to be optimistic about all these nice overtures, but again, you have to look at the history of the world. You know, something's likely to happen at some point.
I know. Mel Brooks told you that.
Yeah.
But still, I'm turning 18 next month. I have to register. I'm afraid, man. I'm going to die in Vietnam or something.
Uh-huh.
I don't need this.
Well, registering is one thing. Going is another. But
if you register and there's a war, you're going.
Uh-huh. Well, look at it this way. If you don't register and they come after you,
yeah,
they're coming after you because they want information that they already have, because if they didn't have it, they wouldn't be able to come after you.
I heard Canada was nice.
Canada's very nice, yes, but they are getting a little too close to the United States. They won't just let people go over there to avoid the draft.
But we'll go to... I forget what I was about to say.
Yeah. There's all kinds of options, though. If you're smart, you can figure out ways around it.
Options?
Yeah.
Options are what make the world.
Uh-huh.
Without options, we'll all be dead.
I mean, let's say you were a communist, okay? Do you think they would take a communist into the army? Especially if you were vocal about it. But they can't throw a communist in jail for being a communist, you see.
Do I think they would take a communist into the army? What the hell not? They can always use a good man to die.
Well, I don't know if they would like that so much, if they would like having someone with opposing
views. Are we talking an American communist?
Yeah.
I don't know. It can go either way, you know?
And they also, they're kind of queasy about homosexuals still. If you don't mind saying you're gay, it could actually get you out of this situation.
Didn't work for Clinger, did it?
I don't think he ever said that, though, did he? He dresses a woman, but I don't think he ever said he was gay. I don't think anybody would say that back in the 50s.
A transvestite gay, but still.
Uh-huh.
No, it didn't help him much, but I guess it's just a TV show.
Yeah.
The funny thing, Bush, I don't know, just that name, Bush.
It's short, it's concise, and there's a lot you can do with it, you know?
In more ways than one.
Bush is a name that's going to go down in history. This is the Bush era. The Bush people are here, you know?
The first president, Bush.
Yeah. Bush. I don't know. You know, there's something else. Everyone is saying that Ron Reagan got out of the death curse. You know what that was? Where every president elected in a year ending in zero died in office since I believe...
And he didn't.
He didn't die. No, that is true. He did not die, but...
He he's been brain dead.
Look, the guy's in California now. I think it's time that we just, you know, we devoted our attention to the person in Washington. I mean, we've had 8 years of Reagan jokes, and you know, now the joke is over, and it's all history.
Yeah, but the funny thing is, he didn't do all that bad.
He didn't, no.
Considering that I'm a strict hardline Democrat.
The guy got shot once. He survived a scandal that could have been as big as Watergate and might even prove to be bigger.
Well, wait, but no one knows that he wasn't really involved in that.
We don't know yet. That's right, we don't know. It took a while for us to know what Nixon was up to, too.
Yeah, but I like Nixon. But then again, maybe I'm not a Democrat. Wait a minute.
I'd have yourself checked out if I were you.
I need someone.
You need guidance.
Guidance?
Yeah.
Guidance. Who can give me guidance? Allah.
I gotta go to some more calls, though. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, go ahead.
632-6901. Politics makes strange things. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Oh, just when you thought it was safe to come out, here he is with grim news of the future. Doomsayer.
I don't think you'll have much competition. Not competition. What was it? Everyone is pretty much saying bad things now.
Everybody.
Yeah.
Let's cut down more trees, build more highways, keep on having them babies so that we can destroy this planet today. Let's get it over with. Now, what were we talking about tonight?
We're talking about the new era that has just dawned upon this country here, one we're all still kind of staggering after seeing.
I see.
The George Bush era, the Bushites,
we're always doing politics. How come we never talk about phone sex or masturbation on this program?
Well, you know, those are topics that, how shall I say, they belong better on commercial radio, I think.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think that Bush is going to be a good president.
You think so? Why?
Because, I'll tell you, Eric, to be totally serious, I think that his remark about values really impressed me, to be totally serious.
His remark about values?
Yeah, this country is definitely lacking in values.
That kind of surprised me. You're referring to yesterday when he said materialism isn't everything, right?
I don't remember hearing that remark.
Let's see here.
Well, I like that.
You keep talking. I'll try to find it because I have the whole speech in front of me here.
Me and you, we pretty much grew up in the same time zone. You know, the white picket fence, the family, the close-knit family, you know, the station wagon, you know, the non-chaotic society. Society is just getting so, it's falling apart at the seams, I think.
Uh-huh.
I hate to say, but it just seems like no matter how good of a family you come from, you can't escape all the chaoticness of it, the breakdown. You know, even kids are giving you the finger now at 2-3 years old.
Wow.
Really a shame. I never knew about that kind of thing till I was like 12 or 13 years old, and even then I didn't understand it. Now you got kids 5 years old doing that. Look at the kid with the gun in school. You know, the kid with the knife. You know, I know Bush wants to turn things around, but it's just going to be impossible. It's beyond the government's control now, I think.
Uh-huh.
He wants to... I really think that he... You know, he has some good ideas with that values, you know. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, that's just missing in society today, I think. It would be nice to go back to that.
Well, where did the values go?
It's just, well, it's like I said, the larger the population, it's just like, it's entropy. Everything increases towards disorder. Everything's getting so disorderly, you know? I don't know, do you disagree, agree, what, you have an opinion on that?
Well, you know, that's the kind of thing that older generations have been saying of younger generations since the beginning of time. You know, it does...
I mean, when we were kids, there wasn't graffiti all over everything.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I go to the college there, you know, where you're speaking from, and I see the restrooms and the vandalism in the college, and these are supposed to be mature students. And
well, now, okay, you're seeing the end result. What leads up to the end result? Why are these things happening? There's, you know, if you find out why they're happening, then maybe you can do something about it.
The moral structure, you know, it's like Bush says, values, sense of values. It's just not like it used to be. A lot of, look at how many people are illiterate today. You know, people that can't even read.
Uh huh.
You know, people need to be educated. That's why things are falling apart, like I say they always are. It's the people who are in the lower class that seem to have the most kids, and they're the ones least able to support them. That's, you know, you understand what I'm saying?
I think so.
I think Bush is, he's got some good ideas. I don't know if he could do much about it. You know, it's, I don't know what he's going to do with the economy and the deficit. I mean, what can you really do? You've got so many people on welfare today. And so many, how are you going to help all these homeless people? Because poverty breeds poverty. You can't help everybody. You know, people are always saying, well, why are we sending these rockets out into space? We should be helping the homeless. That's the, you can help the homeless till you're blue in the face. There's still going to be more homeless. There's just too many people around. You can't help everybody.
But there are more homeless people have popped up in the last 8 years than probably in the last 30 or 40. It's an epidemic.
Look at Long Island. Look at how, like I said last week, about how home prices. There's so many people in competition for a place to live that the price has skyrocketed that I myself can't afford a house. I don't see any end in sight. I don't see how I'm ever going to be able to afford a house on Long Island on my salary. Only those who make the most money will be able to. And then you got people who own a house, and then they rent out a room for such a high price. Where are these people going to go? Of course they're going to live in their car. 100 years ago, you could live out in the woods. You can't do that anymore today. You live in your car, you know. It just shows up differently today than it did 100 years ago. You understand my point?
Yeah.
It shows more now. You couldn't see it then. There were places to go. There's no place to go anymore. It's like the city. Where are these people going to go? They got no place to go. So they're going to live in the subway. They can't go into the woods and fend for themselves, maybe catch a squirrel and cook it on a spit. They can't do that. You can't do that in the city. And there's so many. What are they going to do? It's a hopeless situation. I think it's just going to get worse in my eyes. But, you know, that goes along with the Jim Doomsayer.
Right, well, you're a pessimist.
Well, I don't see any way out of it. You know, people just, you know, from what I see, you know, from what Isaac Asimov, I've read him, and he says 800 million people a year are added to the population. Just think of that. That's staggering. That's 21 million people a day.
Uh-huh.
That's unbelievable. I mean, think of the pressures on the earth. The forest, all these other animals, all the fauna. Where are they going to go? Could you imagine if you were a snake or a reptile or something in one of these woods and there's this bulldozer coming into your home that's been your home for millennia and now it's gone forever? Try to imagine what if you could think like one of these reptiles or snakes or any one of these animals, a jaguar, anything, and these things are coming in and reaping the land. Oh, it's horrible. And that's why I think this way, I guess, because I think of the poor animals. You know, they have a right to the world, but we just don't have enough brains.
Well, do you think there's more public awareness these days? And can that do any good?
Public awareness of what?
Of all the things that you speak of.
Well, I read the Newsday, and I see all these silly letters about adding another lane to the expressway. You know, what's that going to do? You know, that's not going to solve the problem. In another 10 years, they'll say, well, now we need a fifth lane. There's just too much traffic. Now we need a sixth lane. You know, there's no end.
I found the
trees.
I found the quote, finally, in Bush's speech. Let me know if this is what you were referring to. Have we changed as a nation even in our time? Are we enthralled with material things, less appreciative of the nobility of work and sacrifice? My friends, we are not the sum of our possessions. They are not the measure of our lives. In our hearts, we know what matters. We cannot hope only to leave our children a bigger car, a bigger bank account. We must hope to give them a sense of what it means to be a loyal friend, a loving parent, a citizen who leaves his home, his neighborhood, and town better than he found it.
I like that. See?
Those words that are going to go down in history?
Those are good words. I voted for Bush.
Uh-huh.
Hey, I really didn't want to, but like a lot of people said this year, you voted for the one that made you the least sick.
Uh-huh. Well, we'll see if that was a good choice.
Well, I don't know. I was in the service, he was in the service, you know, and I know what it was like to be in the service, and I figured, well, you know, he knows, you know, he's been in charge of men. I don't know what rank he made it to. He was an officer, and I understand what they were like, and I know that they're leaders. So I voted for him instead of Dukakis because of the fact that it was in the service. That was the criteria. Yeah, that was why I voted for him.
Well, we will see. We will see how history will judge you for what you have done.
Well, he's an older gentleman, you know. So I think, you know, his life experience.
Well, you don't have to explain to us. We understand.
Okay, so let's give somebody else a chance. Huh?
Okay, thanks for calling.
Yeah, I'll see you.
632-6901. The program is Brain Damage here on WUSB's Stony Brook. Eric Corley with you until midnight tonight. And talking about, it looks like we're talking about politics again. We don't have to talk about politics, but since it does seem to be what's going on in the world today, might just be the most relevant thing to talk about. Let's see if Georgie is in. Probably still busy. They're so busy these days. Yeah, well, that doesn't really surprise me. 632-6901. Good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
Yeah, Eric, how you doing?
How you doing?
First of all, I want to say that I think the change of power in Washington...
Yeah?
Oh, it's kind of quick, you know?
Uh-huh.
Well, too quick, you know, and...
You know, that brings up an interesting point. Somebody told me this, and I'm not sure if it's true, but when they were inaugurating everybody yesterday, they did it kind of in a weird way. They inaugurated Quayle first.
Really?
As vice president, because they had to disinaugurate Bush as vice president before they could inaugurate him as president.
They can't be both, right?
Because otherwise it'd be both at the same time.
Can't
but that means for a few minutes anyway, Reagan was president... And Quayle was vice president, which means if somebody all of a sudden, or if Reagan suddenly had a heart attack or something, or if somebody killed Reagan at that particular moment in time, that means technically, at least, Quayle would become president. And then,
up the creek, though,
then Bush would have been sworn in as who knows what, you know. But for a few minutes anyway, it was kind of a weird type of transition thing. And
how would that work if, you know, if Quayle became president then?
I don't know. I don't know what happens then. If anybody understands how that works, if there's some kind of provision for what happens if somebody's a vice president and the old president suddenly departs this realm, does the new president become president or does the person who's officially vice president become... I don't know. I don't know. It's all confusing to me.
Not really.
But just something to think about. So what else did you have to say?
I was going
to
say, you know, it's quick and I don't like it that they already have Barbara Bush's picture on the dollar bill. You know.
Barbara Bush's picture on the dollar bill, huh?
Just take a look at it, you know? All right.
That's that white hair, yes. Okay, well, thanks for calling. Where are you calling from?
Bohemia.
Bohemia. Okay, well, thanks very much for calling.
All right, thanks a lot, Eric.
Okay. Those Bohemians, yes. 632-6901. And it's, according to this clock, it's 4 minutes after 11. According to the other clock, it's 2 minutes after 11. I don't know. We're going to take some more calls. You know, I'd really like to hear... The campus here at Stony Brook is closed. Okay, I know that. The campus here is closed. I mean, there are some students here, but not very many. But there's other campuses that can pick up our signal. And not just college campuses. There's all kinds of institutions where people are. You know, there's prisons, there's mental institutions. Actually, you could call any college a mental institution because that's really what it is. You know, it's an institution where you do things with your mind, and you know, you can call it a mental institution and not be all that wrong. But there are other colleges. There's University of Bridgeport. There's Yale. I know we can pump our signal out to there. I don't know. There's other colleges. There's Brookhaven National Labs. That's kind of a campus. There's jails and prisons and psychiatric wards and things like that. I would like to hear from some people in other campuses, and I'd sort of like to see where the strangest or furthest away or just one I haven't heard of before. I'd like to see what other campuses our signal can get out to. So if you are on a campus right now at this very moment, you can pick up the phone and dial 632-6901. However, if you do that now, you will get a busy signal. So just for you people that are on another campus someplace, I have a special number. And I advise the people who are on the line now to stay on the line because I am going to get to you next. But if you are on a campus someplace else, I want you to call this number. Okay, you ready? I mean this. If you're on a campus now, I want you to call because I want to see what other kind of campuses we can get out to. I'm not kidding. If you're at Yale right now or Stanford, I don't think we can get out there, but any other campus, either a college campus or A scientific facility, a laboratory of some sort, a mental institution, a jail, a prison, or anything else that qualifies as some kind of a campus. Call this number, 632-6498, area code 516. You'll receive instructions there, and you will be forwarded to me. 516-632-6498. Only if you're on a campus, though. Now we're going to get to these calls that are sitting here, and let's see who we have. Good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
Hi, you got a 6-3.
Ooh, I'm sorry. Must have been a reflex in my finger muscle. I don't know. Something about your voice that sounded like you were going to say something nasty. So if you weren't going to say something nasty, I apologize. But that was my finger before my brain, you know. My finger's a little bit faster sometimes. Good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
Hey, Eric, how's it going?
Okay, how are you?
Okay. Remember the first caller who wanted to say hi to two people?
Yeah, can you hold on 1 second?
Okay, sure.
Okay, we just have a caller from a campus here. Hello, what campus are you on? Hello? Anyone there? No, there's no one there. Okay, now look, folks, on other campuses, I know you like to play games, but I mean it. If you're on a campus, call that number and see who we get there. 632-6498, only if you are on another campus someplace. If you're a regular person, 632-6901. Sorry for the interruption there.
Yeah, this is Jeremiah Toenail hanging by a thread.
Hanging by a thread. Okay. Where are you calling from, thread?
Miller Place.
Miller Place, huh? Okay. And what's on your mind today?
Well, I think that George Bush will probably be a good president, better than Ronald Reagan.
Uh-huh.
When he was in office, it was like one big party. I mean, look at the national debt. It's $3 trillion.
So do you think Bush is going to fix everything?
Probably. He'll probably make it better, but he won't fix it.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, that's optimistic anyway. What do you think of his stature, of the way he presents himself?
I think he'll, be a very good president. I don't know about that. He'll probably be a great president.
Okay, well, we'll check with you in 4 years and see how he's doing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wait, we gotta hand one thing to George Bush.
What's that?
He made a great invention.
What's that?
See-through underwear for women.
What's that?
George Bush made a great invention. See-through underwear for women.
See-through underwear for women. Okay, I'll mull that over. 632-6901, looks like we have a campus call here. Good evening, you're on Brain Damage. Hello, is somebody there? Excuse me, you're going to have to speak in English. We can't understand that kind of talk there. Now look, folks, I'm offering you an opportunity here. Now, there's lots of people out there that ordinarily would not call this show that I'm issuing a direct appeal to. Okay, now I picked up the special other campus line twice now and gotten silly calls both times. Now, this is my final appeal to you folks. If you're on another campus someplace, another college campus, listening to this radio station, I want you to call area code 516-632-6498. You'll receive a strange little message, and then you'll be forwarded to this program, and you won't have to deal with the busy signal that the regular callers have to deal with. Now, I'm going to go back to the regular callers now, but you campus people, this is your last chance. You can call 516-632-6498 if you're at a scientific institution, a prison, a college campus, anything like that. Everyone else, 516-632-6901. Let's go back to the phones. Good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
Good evening, Mr. Corley.
Good evening.
This is Gil Rosenwald, former president of Morite Communications.
I see. Okay, go ahead.
I have a very strange problem.
I wouldn't call attention to it if I were you.
Excuse me?
Go ahead.
It's not personal.
No, aside of course not.
Aside from my commitment to broadcast excellence, I was distracted from the radio and I was watching some UHF TV.
Uh-huh.
And I was listening to a local cordless phone conversation.
Excuse me 1 second. We have one campus caller. I see you. There is one campus caller there. Please hold on. We will get to you. If there's anyone else at another college campus someplace, call the special number, and we'll get to you as well. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, I was listening to a local cordless phone conversation.
Excuse me, sir. That's illegal to listen to. To listen to a cordless phone conversation, it goes against the Communications Act of 1986.
No, I was very bored, and it came over on my UHF.
I'm sorry, sir, but for me to continue talking to you would be a felony.
Well, someone's plotting. I would like this person to beware.
Okay.
Joel Block. Someone.
Joel Block.
Yeah, someone wants to kill him.
I see.
I'm being watched. I've got to talk really low. They know I'm on to
a... Well, okay, that's one thing you're on to then. A plot against Joel Block, is that what this is all about?
Yeah.
Okay, well, the University of Texas at Austin handles all plots against Joel Block, as well as any other things having to do with Stardate.
Okay.
Okay, so forward your comments there. Thank you very much for letting us know about this, though. Good evening. Are you calling from a campus?
Yes, I am.
What campus are you on?
CW Post, Long Island University.
You're really at CW Post?
Yeah.
Right now?
No, right now. Right now I'm in our home.
Uh-huh, okay.
It's closed right now. You can't be there.
Okay, but you sometimes are there.
Oh, yeah, I'm a student there.
Okay. Well, that's good. Really what we're after, though, we're after people that are on a college campus now, other than Stony Brook, or a campus of any other kind. And for those people, we're asking them to call 516-632-6498 just to see if anyone else at any other college campus listens to us. We just like to know, you know. I don't know if you can get our signal at CW Post when you're there. Do you ever try?
No, I haven't.
Uh huh. Well, it might be worth putting up an antenna or something. maybe you'll get something. Where are you now?
Right now, I'm at our home.
Uh huh.
I was just listening to your show, and I wanted to call up.
Okay, well, appreciate the thought. What do you think of George Bush? You think it's going to be a fun 4 years?
Should be, yeah. He sounds very promising. I'll call up because I'm a big Ronald Reagan fan, and I wanted to just say that I thought that he was a great president.
Uh-huh.
And I think that George Bush should do very well.
Uh-huh.
I think that when you judge a president, we often look at programs, things, great numbers on boards that he might have done.
Uh-huh.
But I think too often we look for a president to run our lives, sort of solve each problem, go out there and home the homeless and everything, but that's too big. I think too often we look for the bigger issues, and the president has to be involved with the big forest. And I think as far as that goes, Ronald Reagan did that, and that he gave our country a whole new way of thinking. He redefined the role of government, and he made us feel great.
Okay.
And he inspired people to go out there and sort of solve those problems on our own. Because the problem is that to solve all the problems that we want to solve would make everybody else poor who is paying the taxes, and we'd only have a big switch. So.
Uh huh.
So, and I think George Bush will make things better. Definitely, I think that his experience is going to be a great plus. He knows everybody. He knows the ropes. He's been punched a few times, and he knows when to stand tough.
Well, we'll see what happens. He is experienced. I'll give him that. We'll see if that experience is what's good for the country.
Yeah, it should be. And another thing that bugs me is the Dan Quayle jokes, because
uh-huh.
I think in the middle of a big campaign like that, nobody knows who Dan Quayle is, and we all love to make fun of him because we don't know who he is.
Well, I prefer to be able to make fun of him knowing about something he did. You're right about that. Uh-huh. Just making fun of somebody because they don't know who he is, that's not exactly fair. So let's let him prove he's a jerk before we call him a jerk.
Yeah, if after 4 years he deserves to be made fun of, then make fun of him. But
right,
big campaign like that, he came out and got punched right off the bat from the National Guard, so they kind of held him back.
Uh-huh.
Everybody made fun of him, and we don't know who he is.
Uh-huh.
We really don't. We haven't really talked to him. He hasn't really talked to us.
Okay, sir, I'm going to go to some more calls now, because we do have a lot of calls all of a sudden.
Okay.
Okay, but thanks very much for calling, and keep on listening.
I will. Take care.
632-6901 is our number for regular callers. We have a couple other campus calls. At least I hope they're campus calls. Let's find out for sure. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Hi, I'm at the Suffolk. I'm at the Suffolk College.
You're at Suffolk Community College right now?
Yes, I'm a janitor here.
Oh, really? And do you listen to us often?
Yeah, every once in, when I'm working late night on Saturday.
Uh-huh. The Suffolk County Community College, yes, that's a campus that's right nearby.
Right in Farmingdale.
There's a lot of students that go there, right?
Yeah, well, most people who just come out of high school, that aren't that educated.
Uh-huh. Well, do you have any numbers? There's a lot of night school, there's a lot of adult education.
What would you like?
Any enrollment numbers? Are there like, I think, 20, 30,000 students there or something?
At least.
Yeah.
I work here at night, so, you know, I don't really get to see. And I'm not, you know, I don't work in the main office. I don't look at the records. No.
Uh-huh. Yeah. But it's a lot of traffic going in and out, right?
Well, at night, no, not really.
Not at night?
No.
But how about during the middle of the school year?
At night?
Yeah.
6, 7 o'clock, maybe.
Yeah, okay.
Nothing after that.
Now, this is the Selden campus, I imagine.
No, this is Farmingdale.
Oh, the Farmingdale campus.
Yes.
I'm trying to picture that. Is that east or west of Selden?
I believe it's west.
It's west. Okay, yeah. There's just so many different campuses floating around. I don't know. Okay, the Selden campus. Selden is the biggest one, though, isn't it?
Yeah. No. I believe Farmingdale is.
Farmingdale, okay. Actually, wait. Is Farmingdale maybe the same campus as Selden?
No.
Where is it located exactly? What road is it off of?
On the Selden one?
The one you're at now. What road is that off of?
Joshua Street. The side road.
Okay, Joshua Street. It's not the one on Nichols, then?
No.
Okay.
That's the one in Selden.
That's the one in Selden. Okay, I'm kind of hazy as to where everything is. But, well, it's great to hear from someone at that campus, then.
Yeah.
Anything on your mind as far as what we're talking about?
About George Bush?
Yeah.
He's a good man.
Yeah? Think it's going to be a pleasant 4 years? Non-eventful, or...?
Never know.
Uh-huh.
Can't really tell till it's over.
But you feel secure with him in the White House?
Yeah, I feel secure with anybody, really, because the people elected him. They elected the right person.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Okay, that's good to hear.
Yes.
We'll have to... We'll keep an eye on him, though, to see how he does.
Okay.
All right. Thanks for calling.
No problem.
Okay. 632-6901. We have one more campus call here. Let's see who it is. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Good evening, humanoids. I'm calling from Fordham.
Fordham?
Yes.
Okay. That's very interesting. You really are in Fordham, huh?
I am. I'm in room 208.
Excuse me?
Room 208.
Room 208 in Fordham University. Gary, you're speaking to me on the phone now, right?
I am. I'm in the theatrical department.
What's your area code?
212.
Okay, that's very good. What's your exchange?
My exchange is 212.
No, that's the area code. What's the exchange?
The exchange is 212. If you want the number to the theatrical department, you will have to reach the operator.
No. Your area code is 212, okay? If I wanted to call you, I'd call 212, but what are the next three numbers I dial after that?
Get it, nigger.
You see? You get these people... Something they don't understand. They don't know what an exchange is. Now, that was not a call from Fordham. I know it wasn't a call from Fordham. Shocking. If you're calling from a campus, and believe me, we are prepared to verify your story, then call the special campus number. And that number is 632-6498. You'll hear a strange little message, and then the phone will start ringing, and we'll keep ringing until we pick it up. Otherwise, if you're not on a campus, if you're in a home, there are open lines on our regular line, 632-6901. So, your choice. I mean, maybe there aren't many people on campuses anywhere because school's closed still, although I know that the school is starting in some places. But it doesn't have to be just a school, you know. It could be a scientific type of place, you know, a research institute. I don't know what's around here. It could be a secret military installation someplace. If you're at one of those places, call up the campus number and let us know what's out there. We'd like to know, you know, what huge installations there are that that we take for granted. You know, there's like a Grumman plant or something, or you know, a military research incorporated. All kinds of weird things around here, you know, underground espionage organizations. So if you're at one of those places, 632-6498. If you're a regular person, 632-6901. If you're out of the area, area code 516. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
How you doing? I never did this thing before, so...
Where are you calling from?
Massapequa.
Massapequa. Wow, how's the signal coming in out there?
It's coming in a little weak, but I'm pulling you in.
Well, I'm glad you are. What's on your mind tonight?
I just want to clarify about the guy who's calling from Farmingdale. You know, there's Suffolk Community College.
Yeah, that's it, right?
That's a joke because first of all, Farmingdale campus is off 110.
It's off 110.
Yeah.
So let's see. You don't think that person's telling the truth, huh?
just a bunch of kids, I guess you could say, huh?
Well, he didn't say 110, that's true. I have Farmingdale, Farmingville mixed up. That's my problem. I've never been able to shake that. Farmingdale is where?
Farmingdale's, it's right next to Massapequa. You know, there's a big, sort of a playland across the street. It's called Adventureland. It's off Route 110.
Okay, I do know where that is. Now, there isn't a road called Joshua's Path around there somewhere?
No.
There isn't, okay. Well, that's shocking. That's shocking because he did sound like he was legitimate. So what you're saying is that...
this is crazy, huh?
That's crazy. I know what people will go through to make up stories around here.
Yeah. I just wanted to say about, the elections.
Yeah?
I believe that they were heavily, contributed to by the media, first of all. You know, all the advertisements on TV and the such.
Yeah.
Helped Bush and helped Dukakis in many ways. And it was sort of artificial, you know.
Well, yeah, I think everybody sort of realized that.
Yeah, well.
The whole thing is pretty much, a pageantry show.
It's not what it used to be, you know, as far as elections go. I think they should just cut out the television advertising to a degree. And let the presidents, run for themselves.
Now, how would that work?
Well, they should let them speak to them for themselves and, you know, instead of having the stupid commercials about, what this guy did and what the other guy didn't. I don't know. It was just an idea.
Well, we were talking about this a couple of months ago during the debates. We, thought it was a good idea to just have straight debates, without all this moderation and limitation put on it. Just have people do what they did up in Canada and yell back and forth at each other. You know, that way you see who the person really is.
That would be a good idea. I guess it would get kind of nasty.
Yeah, but that's what politics is all about. You know, you have to see how people react when they get nasty. That tells you a lot about their personality.
Yeah.
You know, you see people in all moods, not just the mood they want to put on in front of the press.
Yeah.
You know, like I like to see what Reagan looks like. No, I wouldn't want to see that when he wakes up in the morning, you know. Things like that, they tell you something about the way the person really is. Because what you're seeing is you're just seeing a show. Fiction is what you're seeing.
Yeah, with all the makeup and stuff they wear and stuff. You know?
Yeah, you might as well be watching Three's Company or something. It's that artificial.
Exactly. As far as the homeless go, they were complaining the other day about all the gala celebrations. There's $18 million donated and $7 million coming out of tax money.
Okay.
Now, they were complaining about that the tax money should be given to them, the homeless. And I think that the homeless are just about as equal as everyone else. They can get a job, It may not be a very, important job, but they can all get jobs.
Well, a lot of homeless people do have jobs, but even with the jobs, they can't afford to live in a house. Or an apartment.
Yeah.
That's one of the things that a lot of people don't realize. There are some people that go to shelters, and then in the morning they go to work, and they come back to the shelters. They just, they have to make a choice, either live in a house or eat,
Definitely.
They can't do both.
On Long Island, you can't afford to live here anymore, so.
Uh-huh.
That's definitely not the place for a homeless person.
Uh-huh. Well, it may be soon, depending on how many people decide to stick around. But yeah, we do face some major problems, and how Bush deals with that is going to be interesting. I don't envy him.
I think he'd do he's going to do a very good job.
Uh huh. Yeah. Well, it's good to have confidence. I like to have confidence in him. I like to say, I think he's going to do a great job. But I think he's capable of doing a great job. I don't know for sure if he will do a great job.
I'm sure he'll try. But with a guy like Quayle running with you, it's going to be maybe hard.
Well, again, we don't know anything about him, really. Well, let's see what he does. Let's see what his first major screw-up is, and then we'll start lashing out at him.
And before, you're talking about, Reagan's scandal.
Uh-huh.
North and the guy. And
uh-huh.
I think that they should now that Reagan's not president anymore, there won't be as much pressure, they should bring him into it and have another trial for North. Because I personally think North would...
Well, he's supposed to go on trial later this month, isn't he?
Oh, well, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. I hope it's televised.
like when it was.
Those Iran-Contra hearings were the greatest part of the Reagan administration, I think.
Yeah. You know, there was nothing else on all day. It was just...
I know, it was so much fun.
It was very boring after a while, but, you know, that's another thing. The television made it more than it really was.
Uh-huh. Well, that's the business of television. You got to make it interesting even when it's not.
Exactly. Yeah. All right. It's been a pleasure.
Okay. Thanks for calling.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. Let's give one last check to the campus lines here. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Buffalo Smoke Express.
That's not from a campus, so maybe it is. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Yeah, hi. My name is Ray. I'm from the psychiatric center in Kings Park.
You know, interesting. You have a hum on your line. Do you know that?
Do I?
Yeah. Guy, the janitor from Suffolk Community College had a hum on his line, too.
Oh, no. I don't know.
Yeah. That's something, you know. I don't know what causes these hums. So you're at Kings Park, eh?
Yes, I am.
What do you do there?
I take care of the place at night.
You take care of the whole place?
Right. I just want to say hello, Mike.
Yeah. Well, I think now we know something. We now know something about people at Kings Park, people at Farmingdale. You know, I did this in good faith, all right? I wanted a service for those people in other places that might not be able to call us. And what do I get for it? What do I get for it? People who lie. People who tell me that they're someplace they're not. I mean, can anything be worse than that? Telling someone you're someplace that you're not. Think about it. Think of the deceit. The horror. I don't know. I don't know what I have to say about this. This is disgusting. But you know what's even more disgusting? You know what's even worse than people calling up and lying? Is the people that don't call up that could tell the truth. People who are actually on another campus someplace. You know, there's more to life than Stony Brook. I keep trying to tell people. And our signal expands all throughout the island and Connecticut, so we are hitting other campuses. But are people on other campuses listening? Apparently they aren't. Apparently nobody from another campus is listening to this radio station right now. A shocking statement, but apparently it's true. And I'll tell you something. This is going to make a lot of people around here very, very sad. It's going to make a few people angry. And the angry people are going to cause some trouble. It might even hit some of the sad people because angry people don't like to see sad people. Now, I'll tell you, if you are on a campus right now other than Stony Brook, and you don't call up right now, 516-632-6498, a special number we've set up for you, if you don't call that number now when the rates are at their very cheapest, I don't know what to say. And I just hope that you'll be able to live with yourself for the rest of your life, knowing that you've made a lot of fine people and listeners very disappointed, very shocked and ashamed, embarrassed. No one, not one call. This is truly a dark moment in the history of this station. It's 11:30 on Saturday night. The program is Brain Damage. And the subject might as well be the same. If you're on another campus someplace, please give us a call. 516-632-6498. If you're a regular person calling from someplace else, the regular number, 632-6901, where we're taking calls right now. Good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
Hey, Eric, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
First, I'd like to say these people from the other campuses, maybe just not mature as Stony Brook is, you talk.
Yeah, well, you know, we're sort of screaming out to the world that we're here, you know, like Horton hears a who. You know, a lot of times people don't hear us.
Well, what can you do, right?
We are here, though.
Hey, they're missing out on a good show.
Well, thanks. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Mount Sinai. I'm going to be going to college next year.
Where are you going?
I plan on going to the College of Insurance in New York City.
Uh-huh.
I want to get to the George Bush thing right here.
Okay.
First of all, I'd like to say he did a great job at opening up the White House to the public today.
Yeah, I heard about that. He led the first tour himself.
Yes, I think that's a really good idea.
It is, and it helps the tour guides a lot. They have a difficult job.
And for, did you say that is? Another thing I like to say is, another thing is, I think George Bush and the Congress are going to go on pretty good this year. Because he's pretty good friends with most people in the Congress. But there's one thing about him I would like to know.
What's that?
What's he going to do for these college students, like for these people who cannot afford to go to college but have, like, the skills to go there, like the brain power to do it? What is he going to do for those?
Well, how about the people that have the brain power but don't have the finances?
I mean.
Yeah, that's a very good question, and that's something that he has a lot of power, a lot of say in, and that's probably one of the things that Reagan did the most to destroy, is the chances of people going to college who don't have a high income. Going to college, even in a place like Stony Brook, cost more than a lot of people can afford. And there has to be financial aid. There has to be some kind of student loan or student grant program. And it's been slashed tremendously.
Yeah, because I know the college that I plan on going to costs $15,000 a year to go there. Because it's like one of the top throwing schools of the country. That's what I plan on majoring in.
Why should you be denied the right to go to a place like that just because you don't have the money? You know, is college just for rich people? Or is it for people who have the minds to, you know, to work with in the first place?
Don't worry about it. Well, another thing, these people calling you, they ain't from these colleges.
No, I realize that now. I realize they're all just phonies.
You know that kid that called you from Suffolk College?
Yeah.
You know that kid Mike that's always calling up?
Well, I think so.
Yeah, that's him.
Really?
He calls from Middle Place.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes he calls himself Tommy Chong.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the stupid kid.
So you're exposing him for what he is now, huh?
He's a liar.
Wow.
I have to apologize, because last time I talked to you, I kind of made fun of him, so I'd like to apologize him over the air.
But he is a liar, though.
Yes.
Well, what else does he do? Does he, like, burn down buildings or anything like that?
Nothing like that. He likes to brag about himself.
So he's an egotist and a liar.
That's true.
Okay, let's continue along this vein. I'd like to get a full description of this person.
Oh, you want
to
get... All right. He's about, I'd say, around 5'5". He's always complaining how strong he is. He says he's a weightlifter. When I seen him, he didn't look that big to me.
What do you mean he's complaining about how strong he is?
Oh, yeah, he says he's totally bragging about himself, saying how he places in these weight competitions. I'm like, Mike, I've seen you. You're so small. Come on, relax. What are you taking, Roy? Or something? He's small as anything. That's how he got the name Pee-wee.
Uh-huh. Okay. Anything else?
And that other kid you talked to before, he talks on the CB. Most of these people are calling up folks from the CB. I'm from the CB myself.
Uh-huh.
So the CB is a pretty good thing.
So has this become a Saturday night tradition on the CB now to listen to this program?
Oh, yeah. We like your program a lot.
Uh-huh.
We call up, like, every Saturday.
Well, do you listen to the station at other times?
No, because you guys play classical music too much.
We play classical music too much? Well, we play all kinds of music, you know?
Mm.
Do you know how many records we have here?
No, I don't.
We have something on the order of 35,000 records.
Yeah, man, most of them are classical, right?
No, they're not. Most of them are rock and folk and jazz and reggae and all those kind of things.
Like any, like, 60 music, like the Grateful Dead and
all? You bet we do. We've got every album they ever made.
Well, you start playing that more often, I'm guaranteed I'll listen in.
Well, tell you what, call up and request it when you hear people playing music.
Okay, that's what I'll do.
And people play music here in the morning, in the afternoon, at night, and overnight, 24 hours a day.
Yeah. What was that guy with the little beep-beep on the phone?
You'll have to be more specific.
The guy that called you up and it was going like this?
That's not a beep, that's a touch tone.
Yeah, that's the guy on the phone he called.
Well, you know, the thing is, those he was actually conveying a message. You see those little letters on the touchtone pad?
Yeah.
You can convey messages to people by punching words out that correspond to the letters there.
But if you get out of talk or something?
Well, you know, it's good for shy people.
Huh. Can you tell?
Yeah.
Well, I gotta say, I think Bush will do all right.
Okay, let's hope so.
And I think people should stop knocking quail. Come on.
Yeah, let's stop knocking quail.
You don't know nothing about the guy. How come you sure she knock him? All right, so his father took him, put him into the... Where'd he go to? Trying to think. Instead of going to Vietnam, he went to what? Post Guard. Well, big deal.
National Guard, something like that.
Yes, he did his debt to society. Leave him alone.
Well, I'll consider it.
All right.
Thanks for calling.
Okay, no problem. Bye-bye.
632-6901. Is this a campus call? Let's find out. It's a dial tone. I don't believe what people are doing to me. Oh, that's awful. Okay, campus people, forget it. I gave you your chance, and now it's all over. Good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
Oh, hello, Eric?
Yes.
Yeah, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
Not bad.
Where are you calling from?
Kings Park, believe it or not.
Really? Yeah, you're really in Kings
Park. I'm for real, though.
Okay, I believe you.
I'm for real. I just had to call up. I got the worst birthday present the other day.
What's that?
You wouldn't believe it, you know? It's like, you know, my birthday was like yesterday, so.
Uh-huh.
But my friend John, you know, he comes over with this present. I'm feeling the box. It's like pretty heavy, you know? It's about a foot by 7 inches.
Hold on a second. A foot by 7 inches, I'm picturing it. Okay, how high?
That's in the box. That's just the size of the box.
Okay.
It feels packed. So that's roughly the size of the present.
Okay.
It's thin. It's maybe 3 inches thick, the box. I open up the box, and it's a clock with Elvis's face on it.
My God, you have Elvis's face?
On a clock.
They're looking for that all over the place, and you have it?
This is the most tackiest, most cheesiest, the worst thing you could possibly buy anybody. And I don't know where I'm going to hang it. You know, people walk in and think, this is my taste. You know, if you were to see this, you would either laugh or gag. I mean, it's so tacky.
Well,
oh man,
I'm sure you could get quite a good price for it if you advertise the fact that you have this thing.
You really think so?
Sure. I mean, I don't know how common clocks with Elvis's face are.
I don't know either, but I mean, if somebody, you know, I'll give them money to come and get it. You know,
how did you react when you saw it for the first time?
I broke down and I laughed hysterically.
Did that please the person who gave it to you?
Yeah, that's why he bought it for me. He's a dry one, you know.
Uh-huh.
Oh man, everybody. There's a few people, and everybody's just starting. Everybody's just laughing their head off. You know, it was so cruel. I thought I was getting something good, you know.
Let me ask you this: what happens when it reaches a certain hour? Does Elvis do something weird?
No. He just sits there staring. It's like it's like one of these pastel print things, you know. It's like a pink pastel background.
Yeah.
And then you got the king there with the hairdo. He's got the Vegas suit on. It's just the head of the king, though, you know. It's not all his full body picture. It's just from the shoulders up. It's just Elvis, you know.
That's quite a story.
I thought I was getting something good, but no. You know, they always got something planned for me.
Yeah. Now, where does one get an Elvis clock? Do you know?
I didn't ask. I didn't ask. I think we got it at the flea market because I know they all went out shopping there a couple of days ago. So I really don't know. I didn't ask them.
Well, I guess you should be thankful for what you have.
But, I don't know. So, the subject is what? Politics, right?
Sort of, but we're kind of loosening up on it.
Oh. Did I say something political?
Go ahead.
Yeah, that guy said before, you know, Dan Quayle did his debt to society.
Yeah?
I don't know. I think he tried to evade his true debt.
Well, now, you know, do you think it's right for somebody to just go off to war because they're told to?
All right. This is the thing. If you're Dan Quayle,
right. You
should have went back then, because he's the kind of guy that will send you or your boys to the trenches to fight the communists now.
Uh-huh.
And when it was his turn, he wasn't too eager to jump in the trenches and go.
Right.
I'm
just kind of wary of saying to somebody, you have a debt to society to go to war.
Oh, maybe not so, but if you're going to practice what you preach, that's what I say. You know,
uh-huh.
If you want to preach the hard line, go and fight it.
But then
again,
if what you preach is wrong, I can't say practice something that I think is wrong.
Well, I'm not saying that he was wrong or he was right.
Uh-huh.
Whether that war was wrong or right, but I'm saying that if you thought it was right, that if, you know, I think you shouldn't have tried to, it does look kind of funny, you know?
Yeah.
So I had an uncle who, he came over here and joined because he was Irish, you know? So he had nothing over there and not, you know, so he came over here and joined. You know, they made him a citizen and all. But, he got shot, and for what, you know?
Uh-huh.
And here's this guy, and he's vice president. And he, you know, he didn't go. You know, he stayed home. It seems like a bad choice that, George made on that one.
Yeah, but...
It really does.
At least it's not boring, you know? At least it's something interesting.
Yeah, I can't imagine why. He must have not known. It must have been like, who's the judge? Ginsburg, the guy who was smoking joint.
Yeah, well, that would have been fun, too. But, you know, I don't know. Bush must know something that we don't know yet about this guy. I don't know. You know, I can't imagine why he would pick somebody like
that. The only thing I can think is that he looks good on the TV.
Or maybe he even has a liberal appeal somehow.
Maybe because he looks good or something, you know, and it's in this TV age of politics. That's what I thought the race was. It was a contest between two TV commercials.
Uh-huh.
You know, I mean, you know, those commercials, you know, they come on and they say, oh, yeah, I'm going to make America great. This is what I'll do. And, of course, it doesn't mean anything.
That's true.
You know, they should better spend their time, you know, telling us what they know, see if they have a plan of action. You know, that would impress me.
Uh-huh.
But none of the candidates had that.
We say this every year, you know. Let's just remember it now until the next time so that, you know, we don't have to go through the same routine again, so that we'll demand something better from the beginning.
You know, I think we really need some changes here, you know.
Uh-huh.
You know, like, I don't know, like the whole welfare system has got to be overhauled, top to bottom, you know?
Yeah.
Just, you know, I mean, I don't, you know, one thing, I can't stand the thought of my tax dollars being given to people who don't work. And then even more than that is that, you know, the people who do need it, they're probably not getting enough to help them out.
Well, that's
Something's got to change, like
what,
the guy said.
I'm not sure I understand what you said there, because a lot of people that don't work are the ones that need the money.
No, that's true, but a lot of people who are getting the money could get a job if they wanted to.
Right, but as we said before, getting a job often isn't enough.
It depends, you know. I mean, it should help you, you know. Now the way it is, they're just handing you out a few dollars, and it's, you know, it's hardly enough to keep you going.
Right.
And then, you know, it's true. There's a lot of people who are getting this money, you know, drug addicts and just general bums, too. There's
now
a lot of them.
I saw an article. It was in one of the advice columns over the last couple of weeks where somebody was trying to get out of the welfare system. They were receiving money from welfare, and they said, okay, I'm going to go out and get a job. So they get this little part-time job. But as soon as they get the part-time job, that means they're ineligible for welfare completely. So they make even less than when they're on welfare. So they have to go back to welfare because they can't afford, you know, to make that much less. So it's kind of like a,
well, that's an example,
a trap. They can't get out of it, you know?
That's just an example of, you know, the terrible inefficiency in the way things are done totally wrong down there.
Right.
You know, they should try, with that money, they should try to help people, do something with them so that they can support themselves. You know, if they're, you know, completely useless, that's one thing. Most people aren't. If they could really, you know, I don't know how to go about this, but, you know, there's got to be somebody with a vision to come, you know, to straighten this whole thing out.
Well, I can tell you, just slashing things left and right, I don't think is going to get that, you know.
No, it probably won't, but they need a whole new approach to a whole lot of things in this country. Education, for one of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you go overseas, you can see how much better, you know, in general, the children are educated.
Well,
you know, as compared to here, say, in Europe and stuff.
That's true.
I was overseas for a little while, and, you know, they can tell, you know, the kids over there, you know, in elementary school, they can tell you more about, you know, the American history than a lot of American kids can.
I'll tell you, it's embarrassing.
And it's not just kids going to bad schools or whatever, you know. It just, you know, it seems that this is such a apathy towards education over here.
Yeah.
And
education has gotten a bad name.
You know, it's not totally, you know, the educator's fault or whatever. It's a lot to do with, you know, a whole lot of different things. But something's really got to be done, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, half the engineers in this country aren't even, you know, born here. Most of them come on over, you know, because they can make money. We need them, you know.
Quite true, quite true.
Especially, you know, in the face of, say, the Japanese, who are graduating, you know, thousands upon thousands of engineers a year, you know. Whereas over here, what do we graduate? Lawyers is the biggest thing.
Yeah, and we all like to sue each other left and right, I know.
Yeah, exactly. It's, you know, some things really got to change. Some things are really bad for our society. Lawyers is one of them. It's like a symptom of decay, even, the laws that are being passed, and the more intricate it gets, you know.
I think we agree that on what has to be changed. The only thing we can't seem to figure out is how do we do it.
Yeah, you know, it's like they said, in the old days, you used to be as good as your word. Now you're only as good as your lawyer.
I know.
You know, it's true, you know. Something's really gotten out of hand along the way somehow.
Well,
I don't know what it is, but I don't know.
Okay, well, thanks for your thoughts.
Okay.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
632-6901. And I guess the reason we aren't getting any calls from other campuses is because the U.S. educational system has really gone down the toilet. There's nobody left at any other college campus. And I guess it could be that all other campuses are closed, so we can probably do this some other time. I mean, if no one's there, in fact, then it's probably not fair to ask for calls from other campuses. I don't know. But if you are on a campus, call 516-632-6498. You'll be transferred over here. If you're not on a campus, call 516-632-6901. And looking at a few items in various newspapers, of course, the big item appeared in this week's edition of the Village Times, which is one of the local papers around here. Crime Watch. It's kind of shocking, actually. But on January 10th, the local financed market reported that a toothbrush was stolen. I first read that and I had to sit down right away. I couldn't believe it. A toothbrush stolen right out of a store. And you have to give the folks over at Finance some credit for finding out about it, getting the date and everything, knowing that a toothbrush was missing. If you know anything about the missing toothbrush in our local financed market, I guess you call the police or something. I don't know. You can call us. You can call them. If you know where the toothbrush is, I'd get a lawyer if I were you. That's what's going on. January 10th. What day was that? That was a Tuesday. If you're anywhere near a financed supermarket on Tuesday, January 10th, and you saw a toothbrush where it shouldn't have been, I'm sure they want to speak to you. I know we would like to interview you, and the police probably want to apprehend you. Shocking, the kind of things that go on in this neighborhood. Absolutely appalling. Well, there's other things that are happening. Some of them make it to various magazines. This one is about, 3 years old now. Listen to this. Chicago City employee John Anarino allegedly hired three men to kill a former roommate, but the men mistakenly stabbed a sheriff's officer to death instead. Facing indictment on that charge, Anarino then hired another man to wound him, not only to attract sympathy on the day he was indicted, but in hopes of blaming the shooting on the former roommate. However, Anarino's plan went awry when he died of the gunshot wound he had paid for. I'll tell you. Then we have the story of Daniel D. Sabine of Portland, Maine. He was arrested after he allegedly robbed the Maine National Bank in Portland of $1,000, then attempted to deposit the cash in the People's Heritage Bank down the street. In Atlanta, Georgia, a robber tried to hold up a bank but was told by the teller that he would have to get the manager's approval. Police arrested the suspect as he sat waiting to speak to the manager. I hear somebody laughing hysterically somewhere around here. Yes, a bank robber wrote a note that said, "Put 50s, 100s, and 20s in the bag. Don't get hurt," on the back of an envelope, then passed the note to two tellers in a Pittsburgh bank. Now, he got away with about $1,500. However, police learned his identity because he left his note behind. The envelope it was written on was addressed to him. Ah, yes. Then police had no trouble identifying Roy Phillips as a shoplifter because he wore a yellow shirt, yellow trousers, and a yellow tie. In addition, everything he stole from an Oldham, England shop was also yellow, including scotch eggs, jellies, mustard, cheese, three pairs of yellow socks, and two pairs of yellow underpants. Ah, yes. That guy with the Elvis clock is still listening. You should hear this one. This is from the Florida News Sun Sentinel. That was a famous merger. Dated San Francisco. A prowler hit a startled resident over the head with a wall clock, then was arrested while taking a shower fully clothed in the man's home. Stephen Meisterell was charged with burglary and assault with a deadly weapon, the clock. Incredible. And this one right off Long Island. Police captured a man who was chiseling bronze letters off mausoleums in a Long Island, New York cemetery. The thief told officers that bronze fetches high prices these days and displayed 13 consonants. I don't think it's right to steal vowels, the robber explained. Ah, yes. Well, it's 11:51. The program is Brain Damage, and I think we've pretty much proven that. Give us a call, 632-6901, and we'll see what we can do for you. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Hi, Eric. What's up?
Not much. How are you?
Pretty good. I just wanted to say a few things. First of all, I heard something on Saturday Night Live a few weeks ago.
Yeah? That's the show that's in direct competition with us.
I guess because it's on the same time, right?
Yeah, yeah. And I hear NBC is thinking of moving it to midnight. But if they do that, we'll simply increase our show to 1 o'clock. you know, we can play these games all the time, but they're just not going to win.
But anyway, I saw this thing a few months ago about George Bush. It was a joke. It said he picked Dan Quayle because he doesn't have to worry about ever getting assassinated.
That's one theory that's going around. Yes, I don't know. We'll have to see what's his name says. Quayle. I know when Bush was vice president in the early days of Reagan, I don't think you heard anything from him. You know, when someone is nominated or inaugurated rather, you always hear these inspirational speeches. But what really matters is what happens in the next few months. You know. I mean, he made a very nice speech yesterday, and everyone's very happy and saying, oh, this guy's going to do good. But let's see what he does. You know, it's impossible for us to say if he's good or not yet. It's been a day and a half, you know?
I think he's going to do pretty good.
Uh-huh. Why do you think that?
I don't really follow him that much, but my dad's told me a lot about him. Uh-huh. And my dad used to work in an intelligence agency.
Uh-oh, really?
And he has... George Bush was like one. He worked under George Bush.
Yeah.
Like he didn't meet. But
then I know what intelligence agency your father works for.
What?
I know what intelligence agency your father works for.
The Central.
Yeah, that's the big one.
But he met him I think once or something like that. You know, he told him, and he worked under him. He tells me a lot that he's a pretty nice, you know, nice
uh-huh.
guy.
But, that's true, but being president is more than that, you know. We'll have to see how he handles certain situations, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, the best person in the world might make a lousy president. You never know.
I was also, someone called earlier, they were saying something like they were being watched or something like that.
They're being watched?
Whatever they said, I don't know, some weirdo called. Remember that person that called?
I'm trying to remember. Someone said they were being watched.
They're talking in a real weird voice.
That brings it down to about half of our callers.
And, let's see, what else did they say? They were listening in on a phone call or something like that.
Uh-huh.
Maybe you could tell. That was pretty interesting. I was listening to that, and I guess he disconnected them. I thought that was pretty interesting.
Hmm. Well, I don't remember it specifically, but, if you say it was interesting, it probably was.
Should, say something for them to call back or something.
Well, we're gonna go through the phone calls we have now.
Right,
we only have a couple minutes to do it.
All right, I'll let you go.
Okay.
I'll see you
later. Let's see if this is a campus call. Are you on a campus?
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the Italian Stallion, already in progress, the boy, to be sour.
Yeah.
Disco Joe. Hey, thanks a lot.
Well, I asked a direct question. I did not get a direct answer, so I disconnected the call. Yes, I know it's a horrible thing to do, but someone's got to do it. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Dave. How are you?
Dave?
Dave? No, I'm only joking. How are you?
I'm good. I'm not Dave, but I'm good.
I'm sorry. No, I think I know who that kid was who just called you.
You do?
Yeah, I think he goes to my school.
Oh. Well,
I
don't think we should mention any names. you're calling on your own accord, not because someone has forced you to?
No, I'm really dead tired.
Uh-huh. Well, that's why most people call.
I know.
Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from my home.
Well, I know that.
No, in Selden.
Selden, okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. Have you been listening to the whole program?
No, for like the past half hour or so.
Uh-huh. Well, that's typical of listeners because I'm told that most listeners, you know, they wander in and out, and they usually listen for about 20 minutes or so, and then they do something else, and you're just like everybody else then.
I've just been waiting for you to pick up the phone.
Yeah, so we have to give credit to the people that you hear over the airwaves have usually been waiting a very long time, hearing the phone ring like maybe 100 times before we finally get around to picking it up. But unlike other radio stations that pick up the phone and put you on hold, we just let it ring so you don't have to pay for the call until we actually start talking.
Yeah, that's good.
So we're very considerate in that way.
Yeah.
Inconsiderate in others. So what do you think of George Bush?
I don't know. I'm a Democrat. I'm sorry.
Why are you apologizing for?
Excuse me?
Why are you apologizing?
No. Well, I'm just saying, I know, like in the beginning, a lot of people were saying, like, how they like George Bush, but they don't like Dan Quayle and everything like that. But, you know, it's like they thought twice, but it's like they didn't think about it. You know what I mean? They thought, well, you know, I hope Dan Quayle doesn't become president of George Bush. You know, something happens to George Bush, but it didn't really, like, follow through on it.
Uh-huh.
So, I don't know.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you think we're in danger now? Do you think the country is in good shape or what?
Yeah, right now, yeah. You know, I think we're in pretty good shape.
Uh-huh.
I really don't want to predict the future or anything like that. You know, what I think will happen. No way.
Yeah, it's impossible to do that. I mean, I'm kind of surprised with where we wound up after 8 years of Reagan. I kind of thought things would be a lot worse than they really are. That's not to say that I enjoyed having Reagan as a president. You know, it was fun. It was humorous at some points, but. Yeah, I never really felt like he could be taken seriously, you know, as a real leader. He was, you know, like Americans are made fun of all over the world, our leader was being made fun of all over the world, and you could understand why, you know, he just really didn't seem to be all that with it.
Yeah.
Maybe Bush will be better, but then again, maybe Bush will be a little stronger in the places we don't want him to be, at least the places I don't want him to be strong, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll be a warmonger. Who knows? We'll have to see what happens in the next few months and the next couple of years.
I know. I just heard that Mrs. Bush said something this is the last time that you'll be seeing me the way that I look right now. And I wonder what she's going to look like.
I don't know, but I like her. There's something about her I like. She seems to have a sense of humor.
Yeah.
And that's important. You know, I think Barbara Bush is a big improvement over Nancy Reagan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And I just think that Mrs. Quayle, she should. Oh my God. Get a new head or something.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. She just changed something. I mean, I don't know. It's like she looks older than Dan, and I just feel bad, you know?
Uh-huh. Yeah, she does. She does, bad. Definitely. But, you know, at least she's being herself.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so. And I'm just dead tired. I don't know how many hours I got of sleep last night. I just spent, like, the whole weekend in Yale.
At Yale?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I called... Don't you remember I called my friend... Jennifer. That was like a month ago. It was like the week before Christmas.
I don't remember offhand.
We were bad mathing our chemistry teacher and.
Oh yes.
Yeah.
Did you get in trouble for that?
No.
Oh good. I'd hate to think of someone getting in trouble for that.
No. We just spent the weekend with the track team. Well, I did. We
don't have to hear about that over the air. But next time you're at Yale, though, tune the radio dial. See if you can get us up there. You should be able to.
Didn't get it.
No?
No.
Oh, that's horrible.
Oh, wow. No, I wasn't really listening to the radio, you know, that much. You know, I was just flipping around, but I didn't hear anything.
Okay, well, that's shocking to hear, but I guess we'll have to live with... Well, Yale isn't that far away, you know.
Oh, I know, yeah.
So
I know, but once you get a certain distance, it's very hard to get in.
Uh-huh.
I mean, even DRE, you can't even get in.
Yeah.
You know. But I mean, you know, you're supposed, you know, you should be closer.
We are closer.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, we'll have to see what's going on there. Well, we're working it.
Okay.
I got to get some more calls here.
Okie dokie.
Thanks for calling.
Okay. Bye bye.
Bye. Okay. So Russ, we got USB. You're on the air.
Hey Eric, how you doing?
Okay. How are you?
All right. I just want to say I'm calling from Setauket. I'm about a half a mile from you right now.
Ah, wow. Our signal's cranking all the way out there, eh?
Yeah.
Half a mile, huh? Wow, that's really something. You sound very close. You sound like you're in my head almost.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're coming in pretty clear, too.
Well, that's good to hear. Have you been listening to the whole show?
Yeah, the whole time. I've been calling for like a half an hour here.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, we've been getting a lot of calls, so I have to hand it to you guys for being patient.
Yeah.
Now that you've made it onto the airwaves, you have about 30 seconds to say something.
I just want to ask you a question. When do you guys play like punk and new wave music?
Well, we have a hardcore show. Is that what you're asking?
Yeah.
Punk music, that's Turmoil. That's on every Wednesday night from 10:30 to 12:30.
Uh-huh.
We've got a heavy metal show that's on, what time is that show on? 2 o'clock? Brother Bill?
2:30
tonight, we have a metal show.
Uh-huh.
But
The Power Surge,
yeah. But the DJs that are on all times, they can play whatever they want. If they want to play classical music, they want to play hardcore, they want to talk for 3 hours, they can do that, you know?
Well, that's what I like about the station. It's so varied.
Yeah, so you can call up at any time and request something, and the more outrageous the request, the more of a chance you'll get of hearing it.
Yeah.
And again, we do have 35,000 records here of all different kinds and shapes, so there's a good chance we have what you're looking for.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks for calling.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
I was just heard before the story about the finding where the toothbrush was stolen from Finest.
Do you have any information on the toothbrush?
Yes, I do.
Okay, now wait a minute. Put the trace on this call, please. Okay. Now, sir, you know something about the toothbrush that was reported stolen from Finest on January 10th?
Yes, I do.
Okay, speak loudly and clearly then. Tell us what you know.
Okay, I saw it on 347.
You saw the toothbrush on Route 347? Okay. What was the toothbrush doing?
Well, Teddy the Wonder Lizard, who's a very good guy, he was running it.
Uh-huh. So we have a suspect then?
Yes, you do.
Okay. I'm going to transfer you over to Sergeant O'Reilly. He's handling the case.
All right. And let me just say one more thing.
Yeah.
That the girl you were speaking to, I guess around 2 calls ago?
Yeah.
She didn't know the guy before her.
She didn't?
Oh.
How do you know she didn't know him?
I work for a government agency that's been listening all night long.
What is this with government agencies on this program? Oh, boy, you guys are scaring me.
Yes.
Okay, well, let's all band together, though, and find that toothbrush.
Yeah, and I'm also a CV person, I guess you'll say, so.
Okay.
One of those weirdos.
Well, thanks for calling us.
Okay.
Bye-bye. It's amazing. Everyone's from the Central Intelligence Agency or CB. They all seem to know each other. It's kind of scary, isn't it? Brain Damage, good evening.
Hi, how you doing?
Okay.
I just want to say, I've been waiting like an hour. I've been sitting on this phone, but I'm glad you didn't put me through so you don't charge me for the call.
We appreciate your waiting, you know. It's something to say about the patience of our listeners to actually sit through all those rings to get through to us.
I listen to the show while I listen to the rings at the same time, so. But I just want to talk to you like about the boy, George Bush.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I think he's going to be a pretty good president. And about Dan Quayle, I know you don't have a lot of time here, but I think Dan Quayle's going to do a good job, too, no matter how much anyone knocks him or puts him down or anything.
Well, it's always good to root for the underdog, you know, and that's certainly how he can be described now.
I think they were pretty media and everything was pretty unfair to him during the election and the campaign and everything, because especially about the National Guard thing. I don't care who you are or anything. If you were living during the Vietnam time and you were going to be drafted and all that, if you had the means, you would have gone to the National Guard, too. Many people would have.
Well, you know, I would certainly agree with that. But I would like to see Quayle say just what you said, you know, and instead of trying to hide behind something and say that he really did serve, you know, just as well as anyone else did. He should say, you know, this is how I felt, this is why I did it, and a lot of people would identify with that, and, you know, they respect him for being honest, at least, even if they don't agree with him.
Yeah, it's better than running to Canada or something.
Uh-huh.
I don't know.
Well, you have to ask, what would you do in a similar situation, and you may find out, you know?
Yeah.
All right, thanks for calling, and thanks for waiting so long.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
We have 2 calls here that are coming in on the quote-unquote campus line. That's the number we gave out for people to call if they were at a different campus. I don't know if there's anyone really from another campus here, but I'll give it a shot because I'm an optimist. That's the only reason, and I'm sure I'm going to be proven wrong here. I'm sure I'm going to be made a fool of. Let's see what happens. Good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
King Theater is the king of late-night radio. Turn to him on Radio 60.
No, we don't give out advertisements for other radio stations. You get other radio stations to give out advertisements for us, and then we'll consider that, you know? But everyone's afraid of us. Everyone's afraid of losing all their listeners to USB, so we don't do that kind of thing. Good evening. Anyone there?
Yes.
Okay, where are you calling from?
Hofstra.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, all right, I'll play along. What's going on at Hofstra tonight?
Nothing really. I was just here doing some extra work for, like, exams. Midterms are coming up.
You know, you have that same hum that the janitor had. And the guy in Kings Park.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, I'm just saying, it's like, it's something endemic in telephones these days. You know, people get hums sometimes.
Yeah.
Well, that's nice. When does school start over at Hofstra? Or are you a student there?
Yes.
Uh-huh. When does school start?
Well, I just started, and, should be starting beginning of next month.
Beginning of next month,
yeah.
Huh? Ah, were you playing the guitar in your dormitory room there?
No, it's my room. I play the piano.
Ah. Tell me something. School doesn't start till next month. Why are both you and your roommate there now?
Wait, hold on for a second.
Yeah. I think we'll get the answer to that question.
It started for everybody.
Sorry?
It just started for everybody, but, like the classes are starting a little bit late.
Okay. Well, it's good that they're going to get started at some point then.
Yeah. I listen to your station all the time, and, like, I've never been hooked up to a computer.
What computer?
The computer voice or something like that. Like, you hook up to people sometimes.
Oh, you want to be transferred to that, eh?
Yeah.
Well, actually, okay. Hold on, I'll transfer you. That's what you want. He's going to regret it.
Hello, this is the phone mail system. You may now release the call or hang up.
There we go. He's gone. And so am I. This is Brain Damage. This was Brain Damage. We'll be back again next week between the hours of 10 and 12 talking about God knows what. In the meantime, I urge you to get some glue and stick your dial to 90.1 FM WUSB Stony Brook, because you'll hear some of the most incredible, amazing, fantastic things that you would ever want to think about. Coming up right now, next, Brother Bill, with all kinds of bizarre sounds of music and things like that. I'm sure he'd love to hear from you and get some bizarre, imaginative, crazy requests. And he's on until 2:30, 2:30 to 4:30. We have Power Surge, and it just keeps on going. 4:30 to 7, Morning Star with Bob Longman. We have the Oldies Show tomorrow morning from 7 to 9, and Charlie Backfish from 9 to 12, then the Jazz Show, and it just keeps going. There's no need ever to sleep again as long as you have USB around. Well, as I said, I'll be back next week. Thanks to everyone who called. Thanks for those who are still calling, but I'm afraid I won't be able to get to you tonight. But if you want to keep calling, though, until next week and just stay on the line till then, that's fine, I guess. Have a good week, everybody. Good luck to you, President Bush, and Quail President, Vice Dan, or whatever I called you before. That's the only way I can say it. 6 minutes after 12 o'clock. Good night.
This is Beth with the concert billboard for Sunday, January 22nd. I hate to say it, but hey kiddies, we have no dates for tonight, but we do have dates for Monday, January 23rd, when Billy Preston will be playing at the Bottom Line and the Toasters will be at the Cat Club. Wednesday, January 25th, the Bullet Boys will be playing at the Cat Club. And Thursday, January 26th, the National Velvet will be playing at, you guessed it, the Cat Club. Friday, January 27th, the Beach Boys in Chicago will be at Nassau Coliseum. The Bullet Boys will be playing at Sundance. Dr. John and the Vipers will be at the Lone Star Cafe tonight and tomorrow night. Mose Allison is performing at Fat Tuesdays tonight and tomorrow night. And the Ramones and Circus of Power will be at the Ritz. Saturday, January 28th, Ben Vaughn and Gwar will be at the Pyramid. Karen White will be playing at Bay Street. The Ramones and Circus of Power will be at the Ritz. Taj Mahal will be performing at IMAC of Huntington. And Zebra will be playing at the Sundance. Sunday, January 29th, the BGR Trio with Vivian Lord will be at the Ethical Humanist Society in conjunction with the International Art of Jazz Festival. Monday, January 30th, John Renborn and Stefan Grossman will be at the Bottom Line. Wednesday, February 1st, Marty Balin will be at the Bottom Line. Friday, February 3rd, Paquito de Rivera and Dave Valentin will be at the Blue Note. Pat Metheny will be playing at...